This is the sound of an energy revolution in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's high-pressure water, plus chemicals and sand shooting down a well. Now, all this fractures the rocks below and releases the natural gas inside. Fracking. Now, we're going to focus on those chemicals and what happens if people get exposed.
When they did the fracking and the water runoff here, that's when I received most of the damage.
That's Brian Lektanich at his home in the hills of rural Pennsylvania, smack in the middle of the largest natural gas region in the country. It's known as the Marcellus Shale. In 2010, Lektanich sold the rights to drill on his property. Chevron then acquired those rights in 2011. He thinks fracking chemicals polluted his water well and made his family sick. His son Ryan is a 7-year-old redhead, likes to box with his dad. 4 years ago, this happened to Ryan in the bathtub.
His mother screams upstairs like bloody murder, "Brian, come on up here. Something's wrong with Ryan." And he came out with rashes that were beyond poison ivy or oak.
Here's what he thinks happened. The fracking chemical mix went down the gas well, came back up, and got stored in a pit on his property. Now, these pits are supposed to be lined with plastic to prevent leaking, but Lektanich has pictures suggesting his was not.
And they pulled the liners out. That's frack water.
Chevron denies that, saying it removed the wastewater and the liner in the summer of 2012. That's months before Lektanich says he took his pictures. Since Ryan's bath had led to the rash, he got diagnosed with asthma, and worse.
My son has become incontinent and defecating himself almost on a daily basis from just some of the use of this water, apparently.
They started buying bottled water for everything. Lektanich has struggled to get answers to all these medical problems. The state tested his water and declared it safe. Local hospital tests on Ryan found nothing wrong. But other tests by universities on their water found high levels of bromide, chloride, manganese, uranium, all associated with fracking chemicals. Brian himself has been diagnosed with neuropathy, a kind of nerve damage that causes joint pain.
My son came to me last week. He said, "Dad, you cry in your sleep."
These are the health complaints and the mysteries you hear a lot near the oil and gas fields of America. Pennsylvania residents alone filed 9,000 drilling complaints about pollution and well problems from 2004 to 2016, according to the investigative news site Public Herald. That's one complaint for every well drilled. Federal scientists have concluded that oil and gas production can pollute water in several ways, though it's hard to prove cause and effect between a chemical and an illness. Western Pennsylvania pediatrician Edward Gutierrez fears a crisis in the making.
A lot of the harmful effects occur many years after the exposure. A good example would be asbestos, many years later shown to cause mesothelioma. By the time the association is made, it's too late for many, many people.
Still, several published studies have found less direct medical correlations. In Colorado, the closer you live to a well, the higher your cancer risk. In Pennsylvania, the greater the chance of low birth weight babies. Gutierrez says children are particularly at risk.
They play in the dirt. They play in streams. They don't necessarily wash their hands before they eat. I mean, they come in pretty close contact to the dark and dirty around us.
All these concerns raise the question, where are the regulators? The EPA in Washington approves new chemicals. And it turns out the agency okayed more than 40 drilling and fracking chemicals with known risks from 2003 to 2014. What risks? Poisoning of the brain and lungs and liver, according to agency documents, and tumors, and poor development in infants and fetuses. These are the findings of hundreds of new documents released under the Freedom of Information Act to the environmental group Partnership for Policy Integrity. Dusty Horwitt is an investigator there.
It's troubling to read these documents and to see EPA say, we think this chemical could be neurotoxic and another chemical could have developmental toxicity, and then approve these chemicals for use with very light regulation, if any.
The documents include chemical manufacturer applications and the EPA health risk assessments. Now, the EPA can go back and ask companies to do chemical safety tests. But for all the drilling and fracking chemicals approved, it asks for testing less than 10% of the time. That's according to Horwitt's analysis of the documents. So who is testing for safety?
In many cases, no one is testing. The companies tell EPA that they don't have health testing information on the chemicals on a regular basis. EPA regularly does not ask for health testing data. The EPA and the public are, to a large degree, operating in the dark.
He's not the only critic. Congress's watchdog arm, the Government Accountability Office, has repeatedly found that EPA does not have enough data to check chemical risks thoroughly. The EPA did not respond to our questions about its approval of fracking chemicals despite the agency's knowledge of the risks. An industry group, the American Chemistry Council, responded to us with a statement. It noted that Congress last year passed stricter rules for the EPA to approve new chemicals. Of course, those old chemicals are still out there, in and around Brian Lactanich's house in Pennsylvania.
Everybody presumes that the government is there to protect you. If they were here to protect you, they wouldn't let this go on at all.
It's not just the pollution that he believes is all around him. He has a separate beef with the system, that he's not allowed to know what the exact chemicals are that he may have been exposed to. Federal rules allow a high degree of secrecy. And that's the focus of our story tomorrow. In southwestern Pennsylvania, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.